you know, or why you were afraid of like picking up the phone and calling a gallery, for example. Like before I was terrified of doing it. And then like when I understood why I wasn't doing it, then now it's okay. I can call, you know, I can do pick up the phone and call a gallery and be okay with talking with them, you know, without my heart like exploding, you know, beating so fast. And things like that. It's really interesting doing those events.
Yeah, it's important for people to know, because I think no matter, you know, what level of success you achieve, I think you're always having to deal with that on some level. You know what I mean? So, you know, people may see someone who's got, you know, their career and is a big shot in whatever field, and they think, oh, they have it all going on. And, you know, and it doesn't, because every time you reach another level, there's new challenges, new areas of your own personality that you haven't explored yet, and new issues that you're facing. So it's always a battle to improve yourself, and I think it's important for people to know that.
That and also something that I didn't understand before was that first of all, to get, you first have to give. And the moments where the times in my life when I got the most is when I didn't know I was doing it, when I was also giving the most value and giving period. And also that for me, and this is a concept that might take a while to explain or to really get into somebody's head. It took me a while to really get it, but you not doing, for me, not doing the stories that are inside of me and not making the characters really go out there in the way that I want them to go out there, I'm actually keeping, what would be the way to describe it? I'm keeping them, I'm not giving, and I'm keeping them, I'm keeping people from having the benefit of seeing them and enjoying them and like bringing that happiness to them. Like I'm actually taking away from those people by me not doing it.
Yeah, it's selfish.
Do you understand how
Yeah,
it works?
it's
And
selfish. You're keeping it all to yourself. It's something that you should give and share. I mean, that's the way you should look at it, that you're sharing it with other people.
Exactly. And that concept, it took me a pretty long time, like months, to really understand what I was doing. And like not doing that dream that I had was taking away from other people enjoying it.
Right.
Wow, what a amazing way to look at that. That's very profound, and I really like that. That's very, very cool.
I didn't come up with it, okay? I learned
Yeah,
it.
but you shared it with me, so that's even better. So
Yeah, well, you are actually supposed to. When you learn something that is so that is really moving and that is really something that is good, it's actually your duty to share it with other people that are gonna do something with it.
Sure.
Yeah, you're not supposed to keep it.
Now, you know, there's another aspect of that. That's the psychology behind that I've read and I think works, is that, like, when you're trying to, which is something we want to get into in a few minutes in the, you know, in regards to you marketing and getting your stuff out there, is that when you're marketing, people feel funny about marketing, but marketing is really just, if you just think about it, as something that you have to offer. I mean, once you understand your value of what you bring to the table, then you're wanting to share it with other people. It's not a matter of, like, you're trying to force someone to take something that's not, you know, of value to them, right? So, I mean, it's the same concept going into, like, your marketing and your promotion, because you said that you do a lot of, you're like a shameless self-promoter. And but you know, but it comes from that. It comes from wanting to, you know, from knowing what you have and what your story is and what you're able to do, and wanting to share that with other people.
Yeah, and mainly the thing is, they will never find out about me if I didn't share myself with them. And for example, I would have never gotten a response, several responses from the director of Monsters, Inc. and app that helped me write my first treatment, you know, that opened my brain on writing, if I didn't share myself with him, you know, like sending him my newsletter. Right. I got like many other responses like that too, that would have never happened if I didn't. Fabian Fredrickson calls it sharing your brownies. Like imagine her example is if you're in the kitchen and you're having a party and you're making brownies for everybody.
I'm starting to recall my college days right now.
Those kind of brownies.
The happy brownies. So you're making the brownies and you're in the kitchen by yourself, and then the people are in your living room and they are like enjoying the time and you're making the brownies, and when you're done making the brownies, like these delicious brownies that everybody's smelling and saying, oh, when are they coming out? And what you do is instead of going out and sharing the brownies with everybody, you go to the corner and you eat them all by yourself.
And now that's not what not to do, right?
That's what not to do.
Right, okay.
And
just want to make sure I'm on board with this.
Yeah.
Eating in the corner, Carlos. Eating brownies in the corner is bad. Sharing brownies is
bad. I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page, you know?
She explains it better and longer. But yeah, the idea is that sharing your brownies, it is a good thing.
Right.
And for example, I didn't, when I would paint, I actually make time-lapse animations of every painting, like from the drawing to until it's framed. So I take pictures all the time in the whole process, and then I like to make a time-lapse on how it got painted. And I really enjoy looking at it, at that, like the process of how it happened. And I never posted before on Twitter or on Facebook what I was doing and pictures of the works in progress. I was always like ashamed, you know, like, oh, I can't, this is a work in progress. It's not finished. You know, this is not totally right. And I actually got one of the collectors advice from me very often. She saw the picture and she said, that's mine. When you're done with it, like, let me know. And it would have never happened, you know, if I didn't share my brownies.
Well, talk a little bit about how you share them. You talked about, you know, social media and that kind of stuff. Where do you share them? How do you get the information out there?
With my email newsletter and my snail mail newsletter.
Okay.
And I target mainly, until now in this past year since I started painting, and I should really have done this for years before, I didn't know any better, to keep all of the people that I met through my life, and they will be great to have right now in my newsletter. And I target basically the galleries where I want to show that is appropriate for my art, and museums that are also appropriate. And I'm going after now, like, finding the individual collectors online, that will, the people that actually buy the art. And I send them newsletters. And the newsletters are usually pretty fun. They are mainly about me, my cats, my dog, the iguanas, and whatever painting I'm doing or show I'm doing. And I send those 3 times a month, and then 1 time a month goes out the paper newsletter. And that goes to mainly all the people that don't open the emails, and they will never, you know, find out about me if I didn't send them something. So the way to connect with them is on the mail. And that actually has gotten me several shows like that they actually just pick up the phone and call me.
Now, Ali, you did a presentation at one of our recent, a couple of months back, on your whole marketing strategy and how you set that up. And it was really, really cool. Was that on, was that caught on video by Arjun?
Yes, I have it on video.
Mm-hmm. Would you be able to make that accessible to our audience?
Yeah, I can send you the video, the audio. It doesn't, I have also the audio. The video is not very pretty. But I can send you, I mean, both. It, yeah.
Well, because I think the content is really what's really important, because I was there for that. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really informative. And your list isn't like a, we're not talking like thousands of people on your list, right?
No.
I mean, we're talking a very targeted list of people. So you're mm-hmm. able to do the kind of really creative things that you were doing, that you were talking about at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make that link or that video or audio available to everyone listening.
Yeah, it's only right now, it's probably like about 400 people, and that is including Etsy customers and like friends or people that sign up for the newsletter. I would say that probably galleries are maybe, I don't know, half of it, or maybe 300 emails. And the opening rate is like an average of like 30%, between 25 and 30, which is pretty high. But at the same time, you know, the rest, the other 70% or 75%, they don't see you. So you have to do something else for those people, because they are not, it's going to take a pretty long time until they find out about you, you know.
And they're not unsubscribing. If, I mean, they're not read, if they're not opening the email, but they haven't unsubscribed either.
Yeah, they are, you either get through the spam folder, they don't actually get it. Some of them also, like if they work in a corporation or if they open the email through their phone, you don't actually see the stats of that. But for example, if they click on something, I do see the clicks. So I know they are opening them. I know that they get them, but I don't receive that they are opening them, and I'm not really sure. You know, the story, one of the things that happened from sending the newsletter, for example, there is a dealer that started to buy from me. That is the first one. And he's different than other regular galleries. I didn't know like galleries like that existed, but he doesn't put the art in consignment. He actually buys it from you. And I had met him when I started painting, and he saw my unfinished paintings on my phone in a show in the convention center, and he said, "Oh, I really like this. When you're done with them, send me a picture and tell me how much you want for them." And immediately after that, I started getting invited for all of these shows. So I kind of forgot about it, and I kind of didn't really understand that he was actually gonna buy them, you know, right there. And he got into my newsletter, and I sent him, he opened them pretty much every week. And I saw him a year later at Red Dot during Art Basel. And of course, he remembered me like in person. And he said, "Hey, every week when your email comes, I see your email. That's the first email I open," he said. "And I open it because I know it's going to make me smile. I know that the art is going to make me smile," which is exactly the point of my art. And then he said, "So show me what you have, because every week I've been meaning to call you and then I get busy and I've been wanting to buy from you. So show me what you have and I'll buy now." And he did. And he bought two paintings and four prints, like canvas prints, from my phone. And now I delivered him, some paintings for him for another show. And this time he didn't even need to see in my phone. He said, "Hey, I saw another in your newsletter. You have another of these oval paintings. I want it. When can you bring it?" And like that. And that is all from the newsletter, that he just sees it. And then in the moment that he likes to kind of have this personal thing. So when he sees me, he says, "Oh, I want that one and that one." And if it wasn't for the newsletter, you know, this would never have happened.
Wow. Okay. So newsletter, good.
Yep.
Eating brownies in the corner, bad. Right. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that for me, Bob.
You're welcome, Carlos. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I'm liable to get confused and start eating her newsletter.
You're going to have to get the print one if you want to pull that.
Yeah, you do.
Now, Allie, how do you go? You'd mentioned that you went from, going after galleries to collectors. Mm-hmm. How do you go about finding collectors?
I'm exploring that yet. I haven't completely figured it out yet. I know that the people that buy from me, who they are. One thing that I'm realizing is that going to these mastermind events, I do find they are collectors, people that I just meet. And then I show them my business card that has my art in it, and they love it, and they start buying.
And they have money.
Exactly. And that is the first time that I realized where they are. Because depending for what you do, depending the type of art that you do, they are in different places. And so one thing I did was to make the website thehappyart.aleloop.com for the happy art people. And I know I will see, I'm not yet in the first page. I'm working my way through, and that takes like a few months. So when that happens, I will see if people there buy prints or they buy originals. And I'm working on figuring out where are the people that buy the originals.
Well, mm-hmm. I just Googled happy art buyers, and there's like 26 million. So. I don't know where they are, but they're out there.
Oh yeah, they are out there, and they have money to buy it. The thing that I realized, like with my particular style of art, at least, is that they have to have money. They have to be used to buying because it's a pleasure for them, and they want to give that gift to themselves. My art is in a price range that is not yet there. They don't buy it because it's going to go up in price. You know, it's not a $2 million thing season collectors will buy. This is more the people that buy it, they buy it for themselves, or they buy it for their sister, or they buy it for somebody loved. And they have to know to spend money in themselves, like to invest in themselves. So for me, I'm realizing that a good place is going to these mastermind events.
Yeah, I mean, those places attract people that have money and aren't afraid to invest in themselves mm-hmm. either invest in themselves for monetary purposes or for even emotional reasons, which is what fine art is all about.
Yeah, and many of them still are connected to their childhood inside, which is like my art really reminds them. Like usually people are funny and they are playful. So anywhere where there is like comedy, and you can actually hear them. You know that if that person is funny, I know they are gonna like my art because they are gonna connect in the humor part of it. So you have to start thinking like that. It's not that you say, oh, they are in this website, hanging out. They have a particular set of, I call them, it's the same as I do with design or the same with the characters. You have to give them adjectives, and what they like. And they like humor. So I know that anything related to comedy, somebody in there is going to like my art. And I think in the next few months, I'm going to figure out more clearly how to get them. But for now, that's how slowly I've been discovering where they live, who they are.
You have anything else, Bob?
Man,
I've got a few more questions, but I'm taking
notes as we go through it there. You guys don't want to write down all this stuff. I got the brownies thing down, so I'm good with that. Yeah, this is really great stuff. Thank you for sharing all this information.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Allie, the out of the things that you've tried from a marketing standpoint and getting yourself out in the media, because you on your website, you've gotten yourself onto local TV shows, local mm-hmm. news programs, lifestyle type programs, just to get the word out of what you're mm-hmm. doing. Is there anything that you've done that you've tried that maybe hasn't worked so well?
With the magazines of the art magazines, for example, they have not responded at all. Like the Pop Surrealism magazines, they haven't responded. I'm not really sure why yet. Maybe because I'm not well known enough. I'm not really sure why. But that surprised me. The local ones, it's easy to get in because they are looking for a story. So as long as you have something like an interesting story, for example, the iguana painting with the story of the real iguana, that one, they love that. Like it's mentioned in every like media. I'm not sure why it hasn't worked yet with the art magazines.
When you say it hasn't worked, you mean they haven't covered your story? They haven't been interested in covering your story?
Yeah, they haven't. And in other situations, I got I sent emails. Sometimes they do take months to get back to you, and they actually keep your email from months ago. Like they reply to your original email. I'm not sure exactly what happened, what's going on there. I've been thinking about it, and I'm not sure yet what approach I'm going to take with that. The regular newspapers are easier because of the magazine, and it just takes an email that you send them, and you know they need stories, so they at some point they put you on.
So what does a typical – I'm sorry, Carlos. What mm-hmm. does a typical email look like if you're going to send out – let's say you wanted a paper to cover you. What would you say to them?
The same things that in my newsletter. Mm-hmm. I tell them about my paintings, about the iguanas, about the cats and like all of the stuff they do. And it's really about me. So it's kind of weird to say that, you know,
sure.
It's really about me. But it really is about me. As long as you are talking about something interesting, the pets, for example, everybody loves them. Most of the galleries, and most of the people that receive my newsletter, they know all my pets' names. They actually tell me that they really enjoy looking at the pictures. Like, for example, most of them, all of them actually, they sleep on my head. I don't know why they who knows, you know, why they do it. But they do it. So there are months where it's one picture after the next that I show, and it's the cat, the dog, or two cats, or three cats sleeping on my head.
Alley Loop's going to start a whole new fashion trend. when you start seeing runway models walking around with cats and dogs on their head, that's why.
It's sleepwear.
Sleepwear. Absolutely.
Sleepwear on your head.
I think we come up with a new thing here. Somebody write that down.
Actually, it's pet wear.
Yeah, there you go.
pet sleepwear. We gotta come up with something. And that becomes actually they become paintings. Like at some point, and then it's interesting to know the story of how that works. And then most people have pets, so then they connect with that. I sometimes, like if I made some Argentinian meal, for example, I take pictures and I put them in the newsletter. Or if I don't know, bought some Argentinian like pastries or something like that, I take pictures and show them too. I don't know, things that are, I think that whatever moves me is going to move them in some way. That's kind of how I choose what to put and what to not put.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
Because mm-hmm. we're all human, man. We're all human.
Most of us are.
Most of us.
There's a few of those guys hiding out there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's in what it has, it's really has pictures. I used to do until last month, it was usually the first paragraph. It had a picture of the pets and me in some way, a little blurb about what happened last week, and then shows coming up and like paintings, a lot of work, work in progress, a lot of galleries unsubscribed. When I put, for example, reproductions like Gicles, they did not like that. And they didn't, some people didn't like also sketches, for example, which to me is very surprising. And I kind of don't want them as clients if they don't like to see my sketches, you know. Oh, I think that sketches are as valuable as paintings, and you know, in my opinion. So I
put because,
them.
Yeah, they allow people to see how you think.
Yeah, exactly. And if they are really interested in my art, they will want to see them. I think
so too. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So,
and that kind of feeds into, you know, you got to be selective. It's not only about people choosing you; it's you about you choosing who you want to work with as well. It's not just one sided.
Absolutely. And one thing that I do is I choose with who I want to work with when I'm and this I did. From the beginning, like since I came to the States when I found my first job, I use the internet and since, I don't know, 15 years ago, that's how I got my job. That's how I met most people I met was online, and I sent them an email. And I chose who I was targeting. The companies had to be fun. They had to be playful. You know, there had to be something that connected with me, and that they would connect with me. You know, they had to connect with me, and I had to connect with them. And I think it's the same for everything, for the galleries or, I mean, whatever job or project you want to get, you have to pick them.
One of the things that in my conversations with you, Ali, is that you've actually started now coaching other artists because of what you've been able to do in the last, you know, what you were able to do in those 8 months and get those, you know, 20 some odd gallery shows and everything. I mean, you set up a business plan for that stuff, a marketing plan, and you really went about doing it and really being prolific in your artwork and getting out there. You've actually started coaching other artists now on how to do the same thing that you did.
Some. I'm being pretty selective on which ones, because I am very limited on time. Basically interview them to see really how much fun and like really if they are ready for me, because they have to be ready to do all of these things. And many artists are and many artists are not, and I don't want to work with those. So I take a few per month, like two or three a month. That's really what I discovered that I have time for. And the whole process takes like about 3 to 4 months to go through. And we find what is their target market, like who they want to work with, like what really they are saying with their art, and like who is speaking to. And that, like, that process takes a while. And then figuring out which ones, what will be a good outlet for them. In some cases, it's galleries, but in some cases, it's not. There are, I don't know, interior designers, hotels. Like, there are many other venues, you know, where you can sell your art that you will be happier with than specifically galleries. So it could be all of them. So we do all of that research. Then usually we have to modify their website, because their website is usually terrible, and it just doesn't show their personality at all. And it's all in the personality. And then we start working on what they are going to send out, like how they are going to market themselves. And some people do great, and some people get really scared. it's like a, I don't know, no, I wouldn't say 50-50, but I like to have like just a few, like a handful of them, and depending on the months, how many I can take on because of the what I'm doing. You know, sometimes I don't have that much time to do that, but I'm enjoying doing it. It's interesting. I had never thought like that anybody, and it's sort of happened naturally.
What do you find that most that from the artists that you've been coaching and working closely with? Because I think it gives you a pretty clear insight into maybe what some of the issues are some of the challenges that they have. What are some of the challenges that you see that artists that come to you have? If there's maybe one or two things that kind of stand out.
The first is the technical issue. They are like completely clueless what they can do with the computer. And they already own the computer. Like everything is in there, you know, and pretty much for free. You can get the software for very cheap, whatever you need. And the information that they need to have a great website, for example, everything is for free. Like WordPress is free. There are tons of free videos that actually teach you step by step in how to use it, and they don't use it. They don't learn. They don't. I don't know if they are afraid, but it just doesn't occur to them that they think it's going to be really hard. So the technical part is the I think is the thing that stops them the most, and then is figuring out where they can show. It's like they have no idea on what, where they can show and what to send. Those are the three main issues that I see in all of them. And I help them, you know, work them through, like showing them that the way we work is with GoToMeeting. So they see my screen. And I record everything we do, and then they can watch the video of because sometimes I teach them a lot in a very short amount of time, so they can watch it again, and they realize that you know it's easy. All of the technical part is not that complicated, and that you get used to doing all of it, and then you get used to promoting yourself. That is part of life, you know, of getting anything that you want.
Excellent. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for me, Bob.
Yeah, what a great interview. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your information with us. If there's one thing that I would use to sum up this interview, I'd say it was fun. What do you think, Carl?
Exhilarating.
You know, it really was. It was fun. I had a good time.
No, it was
time.
Fun. You know what? Talking to Allie always... You know, you had alluded to it before, and you know, talking to Allie every month, it's her personality that you see in her paintings, that you see in her website. It's who she is. I mean, there is no difference between, you know, they're so different mediums. You know, you have paintings that are hanging on the wall, the artwork she creates, the website, the content on the website, and then you have the person, and very three different things, but very cohesively melded together. I mean, they're so intertwined. I mean, you could see the similarity that they all belong to the same person. And I think that's really what, you know, I think that from a personal standpoint, I think that's the hardest thing to achieve is trying to get that vision of who you are and trying to have that translated across the different mediums.
That was a work in progress. I worked on that specifically. I realized that I'm sharing this because I'm really proud of that. That was my goal for like 3 years to get to that point. I didn't know I had it. If I look back and what people have told me from my previous websites and the previous work, is I thought I didn't have one particular style because I had been working for so many TV networks and have done pretty much every style of design and animation there is. And what I needed to find was my own. So I went on a journey of finding my own style. And I finally achieved that through the painting. And I realized that my previous sites and the work, that they did have a style, that it was the same style. It was maybe less obvious than it is right now, but it was always there. And it was something that I worked on very consciously. And it was, at the beginning of the year, my goal was to find my own style with the painting. Like, I knew that the characters had their own style, and the rendering of them needed to be something very mine. And so I worked on it. It's work to figure it out. You really want to have to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think you've succeeded, because, I mean, it, like I said, it's...
Thank you.
And like Bob said, it comes across as fun, and it does put a smile on your face, and that's what you're selling. You're putting... It's happy art. Google it.
And people... and you know what happens then when people actually meet me in person? Like, a few of the galleries that I email, I met them during Art Basel. And, like, I went into the booth and they looked at me and, like, hey, Aleloup. And, like, they started talking to me like if they were my friends, you know? And I barely remembered who they were, you know? Some of them I didn't know that that was the owner, like the person that was actually receiving the email. And being able to do that, to really, they feel that they know me, you know, with the marketing that I am, I do send them being myself, and it's great to know that they are receiving it like that, that I'm actually having that conversation with them.
Yeah, I have a lot of people come up to me and pretend they know me too. They usually ask me for money, but
yeah, but you're famous.
Story. No,
you're
I'm not famous. Actually. No, I'm not actually, and they want money, and I don't have any. So,
just gonna ask you, Carlos, could you spot me a couple of?
Well, that's an indication that this interview is over.
Well, let's wrap it up.
yeah, let's wrap this up. I mean, Allie, thanks so much for. I mean, you've shared like a ton of content. I mean. This is like, you know, this is like two calls.
It was wife, because we had the break in the middle, right?
It was two calls, actually.
You were eating the brownies then.
you were keeping one to yourself too, Carlos.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, not cool, Carlos.
Yeah, I know. Allie, where else can people find more information on you?
I keep it everything in one place. One thing that Laura Roder taught me is that she keep everything in one place. So aleloup.com is the main base. And I've been tweeting and putting stuff in Facebook a lot. Lately, it's just been fun, like, to share my brownies like that. But it's mainly aleloup.com.
All right. So if you want to connect with Aleloup on Twitter, it's at Aleloup. That's A-L-E-L-O-O-P. So friend her up. She's a great personality, great person, really creative individual, and I love meeting with her. I love having the opportunity to meet with you every month, and we have our monthly meeting coming up soon, so I'm looking forward to it. And occasionally we'll go out to dinner.
And okay, when your wife lets you.
When I'm allowed.
Yes.
which is not very often.
Well, sometimes we just take you and, like, we just take the cell phone and, like, okay, we're going. You know, you're coming with us and that's it.
Right, yeah, I get abducted.
Yep.
By the alien chihuahuas.
Yep.
Well, Allie, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. You were a joy, as always. And,
you're welcome. You're welcome, and I'll see you soon.
Very good. Allie Loop, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, yeah, so thanks for joining us on another episode of Drawn by Success.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.